بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Today we're going to be continuing with our series of the daily Ramadan du'as that are found in Mafatih al-Janan. These are daily du'as that are short du'as that are found for each and every day of the month of Ramadan. What I will be presenting in front of you today is the tafsir of it that was actually delivered by Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi in 2007. So I'm going to take about 10-15 minutes of your time and just give you the translated version of the lecture. Any differences that you may find in the translation are solely mine. I've tried my best to bring you an accurate translation. Before we start, I just wanted to request Surah Fatiha for the father of Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi. It is as humble requested, we all remember his father in our prayers. Please recite Surah Fatiha for the father of Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Today we're going to be discussing dua number 7, and it goes as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma a'inni fihi ala siyamihi wa qiyamihi wa jannibni fihi min hafawatihi wa athamihi warzuqni fihi dhikrika bidawamihi bitawfiqika ya hadi al-mudallin. So the first line is Allahumma a'inni fihi ala siyamihi wa qiyamihi. Oh Allah, assist me in this month to observe fast in its days and worship in the nights. Wa qiyamihi. Wa jannibni fihi min hafawatihi wa athamihi. Restrain me from indulging in frivolities and transgressing the divine laws. Warzuqni fihi dhikrika bidawamihi bitawfiqik. Keep me alive in your remembrance always. بتوفيقك يا هادي المضلين. Through your guidance and grace, O guide of those who are apt to go astray. The Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have repeatedly pointed out in their collection of du'as of the month of Ramadan that the core of they have emphasized the core of ibadat in this month. Why do we fast? What is the essence behind making our bodies undergo this thirst, this hunger, this restraining from all the other desires? Now, what has the Lord really wished of us in this month? Now, the dua starts off by saying, Oh Allah, assist me in this month to observe fast. Allahumma a'inni fihi ala siyamihi wa qiyamihi. So right now it's just siyamihi. So we're essentially asking Allah to help us observe the fast properly. Now, a person may ask himself, why do we need Allah's help during the fast? There are many occasions in our lives when we'll go day and night, There'll be times when we'll skip breakfast. We'll even skip lunch. But still, we're normal. Sometimes even the doctor will say, you have to drink more water. And we'll say, oh, we really don't have that much need for it. And we choose not to drink it. The question is, why do we need Allah's help to perform this task? Now, we need this help is because the fast, the siyam, is a spiritual act, not so much a physical act. The fasting is a form of spiritual worship. Now, our bodies are made empty from our physical foods so that our souls can become prepared to seek that the special spiritual nourishment. Like the ulama say, that so that we're able to elevate our souls. Now, whatever we sacrifice from our bodies is not the end we're trying to gain. The end goal is not our thirst, it's not our hunger. But rather, it is a means to our. It's just a method through which we gain, spiritual elevation, to create a stronger relationship between Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala and ourselves. Now, right after, in the next line of the du'a, we say, after siyamah, we say qiyamah. Now, qiyamah here is intended for. We're asking Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala to help us worship Him. Now, according to a hadith, it says, "أفضل العبادة الحب لله والبغض لله." The best of worship is that we love for the sake of Allah and we hate for the sake of Allah. And according to another tradition, we see a moment of contemplation, tafakkur, is better than 70 years of worship, 70 years of ibadah. what this is trying to say is, yes, our worship is in a form, you know, our fasting, our praying, our reading Quran, all these are forms of worship. But taking it to the next level, what we need to do is, for example, when we read Quran, we contemplate on it. Because it says, you know, one moment of contemplation is better than 70 years of worship. Similarly, you know, we should perform our salat with its utmost concentration that it deserves. We should perform salat with concentration so that it can be considered an act of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that we do or any of our goals that we make in our lives has to have that purpose, and that purpose should be the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma a'inni fihi ala siyamihi wa qiyami. Now the next line is, actually before I go on to the next line, we're trying to understand the reason for the necessity of the assistance of Allah, and we kind of established that a little bit. But the greatest act of worship is, or the greatest act in our life, success, is not, you know, to create a big wealthy family. It's not to raise the best children. Those are not the goals. Those are things that we do in this life. It's not to establish the best business. Now, the greatest act that has been enjoined upon us is to move ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to move ourselves closer towards Allah's servitude, so that we get to a point that we can actually say we are the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the second harder task is, first, if we have done that to ourselves, we're trying to bring ourselves closer to Allah, is to enjoin others to do the same. That's a second and a harder task, actually. And then we will start noticing that we'll become successful in other aspects of life as well. Now, whether it's apparent, the word vahir, or it's internal, batin. For example, for us, the zahir, the apparent, will not become clear right there and then. For example, Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Sayyid al-Shuhada, in his apparent form, for example, we all see the story of Karbala happen in such a way that his family was slaughtered, you know, his friend, his companions and everybody. His family was chained, taken. Now, anybody who's observing this from a very material standpoint of view would say, okay, he lost the battle. But no, on the apparent level, maybe. But in the long term, the victory was of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So we won't find the apparent results of what our actions are, but in the long term, and it's in their entirety, there is a stronger and batin effect on this. Now the second line is, وَجَنِّبْنِي فِيهِ مِنْ حَفَوَاتِ وَآثَامِهِ. O Allah, restrain me from indulging in frivolities and transgressing the divine laws. Now this is a very loaded statement. Now we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restrain us from living a baseless life, you know, a frivolous or purposeless life, or anything that we do, we don't want it to do it purposelessly. You know, we want to have a meaning and a cause and a good reason behind it. Now, the greatest challenge we face in this month is that we live that baseless life, unfortunately. We undergo our fast in a merely thirst, hunger type of fashion. And it's, you know, like we're, in spite of knowing the greatness of this month, in spite of knowing the benefits of the fast, we still choose not to incorporate the purpose of this. We just stay hungry and thirsty and think that is it. Now the whole month is intended so that we are meant to bring a positive change into our lives. Any righteousness that we did not possess prior to this month, we are trying to bring in this month, or increase the amount of good acts that we do. And any bad acts that we used to do, we are trying not to continue doing this. That's to minimize them as much as possible. And this is the perfect opportunity to do that. And unfortunately, we kind of go doing this as in a very baseless fashion, and we kind of accepted that this is how life will remain, and we establish no effort to make those changes. But inshallah, hopefully this Ramadan is different. Another point that I was actually mentioning to some of the brothers outside of the dining hall was the issue of when we get lazy, when we have headaches, and certain things happen when they normally wouldn't, even if you on a day you weren't, you know, eating for such a long period of time. Like say for example, if you don't eat 15 hours a day, you know, you forget a meal, you start feeling lazy and you have headaches. Now this particularly, some would highlight that this particularly happens during the month of Ramadan, because as I mentioned earlier, the fast is a spiritual act. So when you're about to embark on this spiritual act, there are forces of your nafs, your low self, which are fighting against it, they're retaliating against you wanting to commit this act. So this is something to consider. Like, for example, you know, we may not have any physical inability when it comes to, like, say, going to the gym, but sometimes standing up for prayer just has this, you know, drag behind it, and you really have to push yourself to do it. So this is also an example of those, your nafs acting against you wanting to do or indulging in a spiritual action. Now, the second part of this is وَجَنِّبْنِي فِيهِ مِنْ حَفَوَاتِهِ وَآثَامِهِ. It's talking about the hudud Allah, which are the laws set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are the limits that are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in a normal case, in this world, when somebody violates a law, there is a legal proceeding, there is a fine, there's always an after effect of things that happen, or like there's something that results from those actions. Now, can we say that one who is not doing the same for the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have those same effects, have those same proceedings and results? Indeed, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us these limits, these laws, and all these different various commandments for us. And just like any other, breaking any other law has an effect, breaking these laws has an effect too. Now, when we're driving down the road, you see a red light. Now, it's against the law to cross that red light or to run that red light. But you do it nonetheless. So there could be two results out of this. One, well, the first one we know for sure, you have broken a law. The second one could be possibly another one where you could have gotten hit by a car. So the first one we just established, like it's the ultimate result is you broke the law. And there's another result of it, one which you are more able to understand. For you, like, breaking the law was, you know, just like, oh, whatever. But there is something that will happen which could cause you harm. Similar example, when you're, you know, when there's a sign, please do not, do not enter. It says the end of a cliff. And if you weren't, you know, listening, obeying that sign, first of all, you broke the law and you went past it anyways. And second of all, you jumped off the cliff and into this. That's a result of it, for you not having to obey that law. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there isn't, you know, like a legal proceeding or a fine, not until at least to a day of judgment. But instead, everything has a result. You know, it manifests itself somewhere or another. If I lie, there won't be a ruling or a legal proceeding on it. But rather, lying itself will have an inverse effect on me. It will start manifesting in my character, in my interaction with people, and it will have that effect. We don't even have to wait for the day of judgment, because certain sins start manifesting themselves in this world, here, now, and they have their own effects, which we may not be apparent to us, but they do occur within us. There's another example, but I'll bypass it, inshallah. We're basically asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, on this day I do not want to transgress any of your laws. Please assist me in not doing that. The next line is, وَرْزُقْنِي فِيهِ ذِكْرِكَ بِدَوَانِ. Oh Allah, empower my rizq with your remembrance. Or the better translation is, keep me alive in your remembrance always. Now here it says the word rizq. Rizq we use as the word sustenance. Rizq for us, you know, it's not just wealth and health, the way we think it to be, our sustenance, you know, say, oh, our risk, it's just we make money, we have a job. But it goes beyond that. The sustenance they're referring to here is that we are to sustain ourselves in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr, the word used here is dhikr. Now, dhikr doesn't mean we just have a tasbih in our hands, subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, that is one form of dhikr, but that is not complete dhikr. So we're asking, oh Allah, give me a remembrance as my sustenance. And the word after that is bidawami. Continuous or habitual, always, forever, all the time. Like for example, you know, continuous, we may remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wake up, we would pray. In the morning we know, yes, we are God's servant, and the day passes by, we're not so sure if we are anymore. Then we're back at the center, we're like, oh, we're supposed to be God's servant, and then it kicks us. So it's fluctuating in our relationship with Allah, our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this dua, we're asking first for ourselves to change that. You know, we're supposed to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servant in all breaths of our lives. Oh Allah, I hope you know you're able to save us from this and make us truly remember you in every action and every breath that we take. And let there be no disconnect in that. Make me such that I'm continuously remembering you. Now, how do we engage in this continuous remembrance? Some people will say, come on, I've got other engagements, responsibilities. I mean, I can't, you know, completely get into it. Of course, you know, everybody acknowledges there are these responsibilities and duties everybody has to do, engagements that we have to, you know, attend to. But remembrance here just means that we should always be conscious that we are Allah's servant. Basically, set that as at the forefront of your priorities, and everything else that you will do, at the same time, you will still have in your conscience the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, like the example I mentioned earlier for traffic, when we're driving, we're always thinking that somebody is watching us. There's cameras, hidden cop cars, what have you. So we're making sure that we're not breaking any laws. We're always on this, you know, awareness, like, okay, you know, let me just kind of watch my speed. Let me just watch I don't run this red light. So this is a constant awareness that's in our mind because we know somebody is watching. So similarly, just try to duplicate that into that Allah is the one who is all-seeing. Does He not see all my... He knows, He has insight into my thoughts, my actions, my intentions, and everything. So if we parallel that and bring that into every little action of our life that Allah is watching us, then definitely we'll always be aware and, you know, remember Allah for every act that we commit. So وَرْزُقْنِي فِيهِ ذِكْرِكَ بِدَوَامِهِ. Let's hope that it doesn't become that we remember Allah only in this month. Inshallah, it goes beyond just this month. After the month of Ramadan, our remembrance of Allah will have strengthened. Allah should be everywhere with us. Now, whatever I'm doing should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last part is, Ya Hadi al-Mudallin, Mudallin. Oh, the one who gives guidance to those who go astray. Allah, you know, who can give us the guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can. In the Quran it says, He says to the Prophet, La ahdi man ahbabta. O Prophet, you cannot give guidance to whom you will. No, Allah gives guidance. Now the Prophet has brought us guidance. He is a means through which Allah guides us. O Hadi al-Mudallin, I'm calling upon you. Only you know what sins I have committed in this life. How much I've led myself astray. We're asking Allah, you are the one who guides even those who have went astray. So this is the perfect opportunity for us to make sure that Allah's remembrance stays with us. Make sure that we do not transgress any of our laws. Make sure we're observing our fast in the best possible manner. Make sure we are observing our worship, acts of worship in the best possible manner, with contemplation, with reflection, with depth. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq, the ability and inclination to observe meaningful fasts. Oh Allah, give us such spiritual success in this month that we are able to be part of the soldiers of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين.